Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. This week, we continue the conversation with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim in part two of our conversation. You may hear part one about budget, building inspections, the North Kona water well situation, rat lungworm disease, and more, where all of our podcasts are at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Mayor Kim and I talked before this past week's developments in the false missile alert situation, including on Friday and just yesterday, hearing more from the employee who actually pushed the button. And despite Governor Ige's announcements that the employee pushed the wrong button, the employee said he knew exactly what he was doing, that he thought our state was under attack. That employee has been fired and has retained Honolulu attorney Michael Green, whom you may know from some of his other high-profile cases and even an appearance on Hawaii 5-0, who indicated the employee is considering suing the state for its treatment of him. Toby Claremont, who is Hawaii Emergency Management's executive officer, had initially stated the button pusher was a model employee. However, later information came from the investigating officials that the button pusher actually had been, quote, a source of concern because of performance problems for 10 years, end quote. Additionally, this past week, the very top guy at Hawaii State Emergency Management, Vern Miyagi, resigned, despite initially telling national news stations that he would not resign and also would not be fired. Well, Governor Ige did not fire him, but now he's resigned. Executive Officer Toby Claremont, who reported directly to Hawaii Emergency Management Administrator Vern Miyagi, is also no longer with the state. Mr. Claremont announced his pending retirement via Facebook on January 20th, 1 week after the false missile alert, saying his retirement was something he'd been thinking about for a while and had nothing to do with the false missile alert. Claremont also used Facebook to describe the January 13th false missile alert as a simple error, albeit one with profound consequences. The Star Advertiser then reported that Claremont resigned on January 23rd, with their story saying, quote, Toby Claremont said that he stepped down as executive officer of the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency because it was clear action would be taken against agency leaders after the January 13th alert. Another manager has also been put on disciplinary suspension without pay. My interview with Mayor Kim was recorded on January 24th, before the most recent revelations, but in that conversation, it was clear the mayor knew that Hawaii Emergency Management was not ready for missile alerts, and he talks about the path forward. Let's join the conversation, a continuation of our discussion that aired last Sunday, January 28th. Okay, Mayor, now we're going to turn to what I know you really like to talk about, except I'm going to ask you some hard questions, and that is...
Oh, those weren't hard?
Oh, no. Those were really easy.
Oh, okay.
Civil defense, which I know is one of your favorite topics, and of course, everybody knows what happened on Saturday, January 13th, and I'd say most people are laying the blame for not just the error that happened in sending out the false alarm about an incoming missile, but they're laying the blame at the feet of state emergency management for not immediately sending out the correction. So we know that wasn't done. You're not the state. You are Hawaii County, and I know you personally were at civil defense within minutes. And I also know that you knew within minutes that the alert was false because you were able to get to Hawaii Emergency Management. The false alarm was at 8:07. At 8:24, you sent out a pre-recorded audio message saying it was a false alarm, a message that you sent out that required somebody at each radio station to manually load it in. But Civil Defense has the capability to use the emergency alert system that would allow you to automatically grab the radio programming and put out a message that would have immediately relieved the fears. And I'm curious why you did not use the system that you have at your disposal. And I particularly ask that because in a missile alert, you're told to stay where you are, not to get on the road. So not all radio stations were staffed. Why did you not use the EAS system?
You know, Sherry, this morning at 6:15, my phone rang because I was supposed to be at a meeting at 6:30. That's my daily schedule, okay, because I got my day job that you got to fit in. And coincidentally, that meeting was at Civil Defense, going through training, critiques, and everything, that stuff. And the people that wanted, that called Civil Defense because they heard that I was going to be there, could you tell Harry, call me as soon as you come in, where the people from the system of the state Civil Defense, Adjutant General, et cetera, et cetera. And what it is for me to review with them what I thought, this and that, because it came out that I said the whole system needs to be reviewed, not just the false alarm element. I'm going to ask you a question, but as you're answering it, I'll just talk to you about this, the seriousness of what happened, not just that. What I discuss is that I was born before World War II. What that states is not how old I am, although it says that. I was born when we had air raid shelters. I was raised during the Cold War. I'm asking the governor, I'm asking Civil Defense, outside of fixing, what is going to be the state's position on reactivating the threat of nuclear war? I said, I have a feeling why there was so much fear that we've been repressing this fear. You know, we don't really think about it because it's too ugly to think about and hear it thrown in our face. I get the chills thinking about what we have done, Sherry. You know, people think on missile, North Korea is a threat because we have kind of a unreasonable, I don't want to use bad words, so a leader that's frightening. I come from a time where the Soviet Union was a threat. You don't know how happy, I'm sure millions of people like Harry Kim, when the Soviet Union broke down. You know why I was so happy? Being raised in a Cold War, I thought maybe this is the beginning of the elimination of that threat. I really felt that hope.
I think a lot of people kind of assumed that was what that meant, that our world was going into a new world order.
And then what happened? We just built a stronger nuclear capability. Russia has too. And other countries has a capability. I'll say this to you and ask you to, if you want me to clarify. Where do we go from here, Sherry? Are we in a phase now that this country, to persuade the powers in be to reinstate the nuclear threat is a serious thing for the world, especially obviously our country, this state, and therefore we must dedicate precious revenues on the federal, state, and county level to address this. We are talking about huge amount of monies, what we don't have today. I wrote this all to the state. Be aware. We don't have the monitoring capability of radioactive things. We don't have the personnel. We don't have the equipment. Number two, we don't have any shelters designated on this island for nuclear protection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I criticized the state initially when it came out and said, shelter in place. If your kids in school, stay in school. School responsibility. 2 weeks supply of food and water. So we have critique. I said, you don't understand, do you? You can't just issue an order, 2 weeks supply. There isn't a school that has the capability to do that. You know, so what are we saying to them now? So they changed that to 2 days. And I'm thinking, how shallow. They don't have 2 days supply either. And I told them straight off, outside of that, the kind of instructions we give will be so chaotic. I said, I have one granddaughter, Sherry, one. She goes to commandment school. Probably of all the schools most suited to keep people in because, you know, they have such a beautiful school and supplies and all that. Whereas if something happens, you think I'm going to leave her there? I'll bet you me and thousands of other parents going to rush to the school. You know, how are you going to control that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want us to think what is going to be our position now that this has woken people up. What will be the state of Hawaii, color of Hawaii, and influence the federal government in regards to the Cold War situation? Do we go back to that and therefore commit the funds and resources necessary to be prepared?
You know, what you point up is the state, in my mind, had not thought at all beyond, we're going to push a button now. But they really did not think about the true ramifications. And on this island, frankly, I think we have to worry more about, for example, Mauna Loa erupting, which is probably going to happen a lot sooner than anything else. And civil defense is certainly prepared to handle most of our known local threats. But philosophically, I feel like it's ridiculous for the state to, I mean, the state doesn't have any plans, do they?
Well, you said it. I'm just going to reinforce it because it came out. And it will come out again. This was a very shallow base plan, not a comprehensive plan of everything that must be done. How it was done, that way, why it was done, I was not involved. But I did put in writing to them that what needs to be reviewed is the entire plan, not just the guy pressing the wrong button. And I've told the governor this and the general this. The whole plan needs to be reviewed, and that's what I'm hoping they do. Now that will give me an opportunity again to bring out the points they just brought up.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like the state had no master plan, which meant that the counties had no capability to build their plans under that, which means also that county agencies, such as even police and fire, who would be instrumental in that situation, they'd have no ability to build a plan because there's no plan at the top.
And that's what we must follow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll be mass confusion.
Right.
And if you looked at the original plan, Sherry, you shake your head more, and I got to stop it before I take away totally the confidence of us as thinking people. But it said everybody shelter in place. The question was asked, are you saying that if this happens when we're home, nobody goes to work? And I said, that's what you're saying. You're telling the police don't go out on the road, shelter there. How long? Who provides the information that it's okay to go out or not go out? We follow your plan, which is shelter in place. Yours is if you're on the freeway, stop the car. In place means hug the ground if there's no building. I said, do you know what that freeway will look like in Oahu? I said, have you guys really thought this over, what you're instructing people to do? And those are all the things what I said. The whole plan needs to be reviewed, and we better look at each step. Although we will cause more and more confusion to the people.
Well, I would concur with that, and I imagine it's going to be at least 6 months before they can possibly develop a plan. But I have to go back to my question, Harry. You had the capability to use the emergency alert system to grab the radio stations and tell us that it was a false alarm. You did not use that system at Hawaii County Civil Defense. Why? You should have, in my opinion. Why did you not?
I'll explain, and it's not to make excuses, Sherry. I'm just going to explain why I did what I did. And yes, there's going to be people that, you know, like what you just said, what you should have. This is what happened on step by step. I was home approximately, according to them, 7 minutes after 8 in the morning, Saturday. The phone rang. The person who was my wife's friend said, Harry, my wife answered, and she said, oh, talk to Harry. And she's telling me what she's reading. At the same time, my wife's phone rang, and she's holding it in front of my face to read what I'm listening to. And I said, thank you very much. I need to find out what's going on, you know, listening to updates. I didn't have a shirt on. I didn't have shoes on. I had old Bermudas on. I grabbed your shirt that was laying there, grabbed my shoes, went to work. I was at work approximately at 8:10.
I know you live close, and I know you run fast.
And so when I got there, I was so happy, Sherry, because there were two people in front of me. In the old days, I was always first, you know, because that's the way it is where I live and I'm on call. This is what happened.
And just a brief interruption before we continue with our conversation with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim to remind you that this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. We're here Sundays, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, and we post these interviews as podcasts to lava1053.com and to koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. And a super big mahalo to our listeners. Thank you so much. Next Sunday morning, our conversation is with Hawaii County Fire Department personnel Lance Ushida, Vern Hara, Chris Honda, and with Hawaii Fire Department Medical Director Dr. Judy Fitzgerald, who is also the head of the Emergency Department at Hilo Medical Center. And we're going to talk about Hawaii County's 911 ambulance service. Now we continue with my conversation with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim, which was recorded January 24th before this past week's startling and amazing and sad revelations about Hawaii emergency management, who knew what when and who did what when. Here's Hawaii County Mayor Kim.
The guy that was there is Bill, and said, Bill, notify all dispatchers. He informed me, said, Harry, he was confirmed this is a bogus. So if you look at time, it must have come about 8:10. And the records show that, right? He confirmed receipt of message. I went back, and this is what I normally do anyway, because I got a double check. I said, this is Hawaii County EOC, reconfirming. This is a false alarm, disregard. And the guy said, confirm. I said, thank you, just to inform you that Hilo EOC in the process of activation. Now I have official confirmation of Bill told me. And I told Bill, you know, first of all, we instructed people coming in, answer the call, notify them of this, put it on to right so everybody can see what to follow. And there was no ad-libbing. And I told Bill, notify all police, central dispatch, notify all districts, spread the word, false alarm. Fire department same. At the same time, all these departments are told, dispatch somebody to a civil defense. They were also told to go on Blackboard. He said he's going to get the word on Blackboard. We couldn't get out because it was jammed.
Yeah. And Blackboard is the civil defense alert system that comes out as a text on our message, on our phones.
We have about 10,000, you know, on that. But that's everything I mentioned is only part of the whole system, right? We're not going to depend on, and I've told you that before, on any one thing. I thought, the mistake number one, if I know this, the system knows this. The system told me it's a false alarm, right? I'm going to control everything locally. I'm going to make sure that everybody that answers the phone, whether it be police dispatch, so 911, so it's going to call our office, carries the same message. This is a false alarm. Disregard. I did that. We did that. Right? People came in. There was no confusion. We had well over 1,000 phone calls within a very short time. Everybody seen the same thing. Police went out as best as they could. Dispatchers, over 1,000 calls, same message. So we did our job that. Was your assumption wrong, Harry, that the state would immediately correct it? Time showed that. Why didn't I assume they may not? I literally thought this, Sherry. You know, you can laugh because I really did. I thought, okay, it'll be over in a minute. They're going to broadcast every television writer, every radio station, right? They have the capability, so do I. I really thought that. So I'm doing other things, you know. Not even thinking about it, Sherry. We did what we got to do local. Time passes and you don't realize the phones would not stop ringing. That's my key. What's happening? Because they know, you could talk to any staff, you will know when we did dissemination good. The phones would go phew, like that. I mean like that. It was picking up, if that's possible. Every phone, as soon as you hang up, bam. And I answered a few of them too because, you know, more people coming in. I'm not going to answer phones if I'm that busy. I thought the message was going to come out in no time. And as time elapsed, I'll tell you, and I explained to the staff, we cannot be guilty of adding confusion. This is a state thing. The source of the information got to come from the source. That's why we say this is for Hawaii County user. when it came about, in a mental time, I don't even know how much time passed, except the phones wouldn't stop ringing. I told Bill, I've got to ensure a tape message goes out, but still only local. And I did that. If I know now, as the famous Monday night quarterback, and they would take the state 34 minutes. 38 minutes.
Trust me, I paid attention each of those 38.
I would have done it. But that's Monday night quarterbacking. Okay. But that's my reasoning, and I'm sure some of you listeners will probably think that's dumb, or, you know, but that was my reasoning.
Well, thank you for the explanation. And actually, one would assume that the state would correct their error within a minute, actually, not 38. So I think you were on the same page as many of us.
Truthfully, remember what I said. That's where my information came from, that this was a false alarm, right?
Yeah.
And was my assumption wrong? I absolutely was wrong. But that's why I'm answering your question, why didn't I?
By the way, I would like to praise Bill Hansen and Hawaii County Civil Defense. Something that I have been concerned about, and I've expressed to Talmadge Magno, who is your Civil Defense Director, before, and it became really clear in this situation, is there's no way for the media on this island, which disseminates information on your behalf, to get the information when all the phones are busy at Civil Defense and we can't even get through. Bill has now established a text message alert system for the media. And in fact, he used it the other night when we had the tsunami alert. But I so appreciate that he has done that, because with the text message alert, separate and apart from everything else, we can find out right away, is this real, or get a notice. So thank you to Bill for doing that, because it's something that I've been concerned about, because everybody calls Civil Defense, and if we can't get through, we can't put it out on our stations either.
I thank you for saying that, Bill. You know, we did have more than one meeting of tsunami and missile threat. And if you call any one of them, it's always with, we got to get better. You guys look at how we can get better. But first let us know before you do it, because if it affects something else, we got to know what the change is. But things like that you can do independently, and which you did.
By the way, I did talk with Talmadge Magno, and previous Civil Defense Directors have had a satellite phone in their possession that would allow them to call directly to Hawaii Emergency Management. And Talmadge said he did not have that. So when he was home 25, 30 minutes away that morning, he had no way to know that it was false. How come he does not have that capability, since he is the Civil Defense Administrator?
It caused too much problems. And we found out that the best way for everybody is a single source. There's two hotlines in this island. One at Civil Defense that connects with Tsunami Warning Center, the military command, central command as they call it, the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, et cetera. It's a pickup phone thing. On this island, let's say police, he has direct link to the police that he can get that information. And we find that that's the best one source only. And he has a direct dissemination way from the one source. That's why I could pick it up at home. I have their number, I can say to them, read for me hard copy or what the message you got. In regards to that, I still think it's the best.
Of course, both of you would have to pick up the telephone and call police, and if it's a day
or
like
radio,
that.
Or radio. Call radio.
You do have a radio?
Yeah, he has.
And Talmadge does as well?
Yes.
Okay.
We have different means of connecting with them, because we know how important that is. Because remember, it goes two ways. They have to call us to say we're on this or that.
So going forward, I know you are not the Civil Defense Director, even though Civil Defense is under the mayor's office and your responsibility. And maybe this is a question for Talmadge, but do you have any overall plans developed at this point about how you are going to educate our citizens and clearly provide a little more confidence? I think people feel more confidence in Hawaii County Civil Defense than the state, and you can't fix what went on at the state until they fix it. But meanwhile, does Civil Defense here have any particular upcoming plans that we should know about?
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I'm going to get involved in working with the state to review this nuclear threat thing. I've been asked, and I said, I will. I need to. So, you know, we're going to put our, you know, nose in that. I think that's really important that we do that as mayor. I'm going to ask the other mayors to, you know, get involved too. In regards to the Civil Defense of what we're doing. I think we've already conducted, I have the list because I asked for it, all the different requests we're having for community information. I've told them to be very, very careful of what we say. We cannot mislead them anymore. You know, we cannot have them distrust the system anymore. But there's so many things we cannot educate them about now because we have no state plan, because we have no federal plan except for one step only, the alert. Outside of that, everybody wants to know what about after that? When is it safe? You know, what is safe? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that we have to work on before we can tell the public what we have. You said initially you think 6 months? I'll be happy if we have it in 6 months. I shouldn't have said that, but it's the truth.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was really thinking longer, but I thought I'd be generous.
Thank you for that. But we have to, and we will.
Mayor Harry Kim, thank you so much for your time. Anything else before we say aloha?
Yeah. I saw such stress. I saw such agony. I talked to a lot of people since then, even directly on the phone. I saw the looks on faces, people coming in to help. And I realized I don't let myself get affected that way because I got a job to do, right? But when things settle down, then you start to so-called breathe, as they say, and think. Maybe this is not the place, Sharon, but I was sad. The one benefit, and there's no real benefit of this, is to make us aware of what we've done, of nuclear. And I said, as I say this, I'm wondering if it's appropriate so you can scratch it. I'm in charge of Mauna Kea now. But before that, I've said for years of, you know, world peace, hope for peace, fight for peace, the most important element of Mauna Kea, I said, before I was mayor, before I was given this assignment, I wish Hawaii can be the beacon of hope for the world, you know, for peace on earth. And now I know more so than them, that's what I'm going to push for Mauna Kea. I asked so many of my friends, do you know of any leader today that have said above everything else we have to do, number one has to be working for peace? I haven't heard anybody. That's going to be my number one always.
You know, mayors have the opportunity to go meet with the President of the United States. What's your plan when you get that opportunity?
I'm not going. I don't know if I'll have that opportunity. Yes, you have, because they have annual meetings, Council of Mayors. 8 years as mayor before, I never went once because I always thought, you know, too much money and you don't achieve much. I think you have an opportunity to listen to the vice president. I will let our congressional people know how I feel, but they already do now. I hope that they will fight it because they're the direct link. That's their job daily. A mayor is just once a year. I'm not going to go. I'll say it openly. I'm not going to go. There are other ways to carry the message cheaper and faster and better.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Aloha.
Aloha, and thank you for driving all the way to Hilo.
I love the drive. It's one of the most beautiful drives on the island.
Now,
Saddle Road is great.
Oh, great.
Aloha. And with that, a very big thank you to our listeners for being with us. I'm Sherry Bracken, host and producer of Island Issues, here on the radio on Koa Country and on Lava 105 every Sunday, and then posted as podcast to lava1053.com and to koacountry1077.com. Today we had part two of our discussion with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim. Next Sunday morning, join me for another Island Issues, this one with Hawaii County paramedics and EMTs. And as we leave today, to honor Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim's desire for peace, we're going to go out with John Lennon's best-selling single of his solo career, the song Imagine, in which he invites listeners to imagine a world at peace. Ahui ho. Sky.
Brotherhood.